it wasn't until recently that Wizards brought in modern plumbing. And it used to be that they would just relieve themselves wherever they stood and then vanish the...
Scotch.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 193 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast of Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the games programmer.
I'm Adam, and I'm real itchy right now.
I'm Sam, and I'm cold.
And this is a show where we talk about life, business, and working in the games industry. Today is the Froth of March. 20 grand.
Feels like it. That feels exactly like what it is like outside.
We are right in the thick of the froth of March.
It is, I think, 4 degrees outside.
It's four.
I thought you said it wasn't any degrees.
Well, feels like.
Okay, plus or minus.
Feels like it's not.
It's no degrees plus or minus 4 degrees. Basically.
Yeah. Before we get started, we have a warning: profanity. There's going to be it. It will be in here. So watch out.
And is his cousin it?
Yeah.
This is it. The balloon carrying demon thing.
Oh, that it.
The clown.
There are a lot of its.
They might be the same person. It's just that one, you know, you get a haircut and it turns out there's a demon clown there. We don't know. We'd also like to thank our recurring supporters over at moneygrab.bscotch.net. If you'd like to help support the podcast, get over there and then we'll grab your money. We're also going to be doing a question blitz today. But first, we have some quick announcements and news items from the studio. First, we did a level head pre-alpha this past weekend. It was a super secret thing. We grabbed a few people who we knew would be totally fine if we deleted everything on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
Including,
and we almost had to.
That
happened.
So we were running telemetry and kind of keeping track of like what was happening.
What's the stats? Give me the numbers.
So between those 23 people, they put in over 300 hours into level head this past weekend. They died about 15,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
pretty good.
A pretty substantial amount of GR18 deaths. Mm-hmm. Built 27 levels and the game crashed one time.
Which is, dare I say, impressive.
So yeah. This is compared to the Crashlands Alpha,
which was Crashlands.
Not only did the game just crash all the time, but it also just was bad. Like the game was just bad. So we had some really good playtime in. People were having a great time with it, and we have a legit alpha, closed alpha coming up this next weekend. Mm-hmm. So this was like our pre-alpha, like just make sure that, you know, nothing is truly wrong with the game before we open it up to a bigger crowd.
So it was only like 2 dozen people, basically, at the end of the day.
Yeah. So this weekend, it's going to be a couple hundred people.
Mm-hmm. And if you're on the list, you already know you're on the list. So,
yeah.
If you know, you know.
And if you're not on the list, never fear. You know, you'll have the game in your hands at some point. but if you want to kind of spy on the action, just come to the BScotch Discord at discord.gg/BScotch. Because this closed alpha, this upcoming weekend, people are going to be able to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a secret thing. It's just closed for access. So that means if you're interested in the game and you want to just kind of like be around the excitement of people experiencing it for the first time, then come on into the Discord and go to the Levelhead channel. Mm-hmm. It's going to be
a riot.
It was very active this past weekend, with what was going on secretly, of course, behind the scenes. So that happened. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be great. We also have an announcement coming on Thursday about Levelhead. So pay attention.
That's all.
To what? I don't know.
Just keep your eyeballs, your earballs, your whatever else you can sense the world with.
Whatever.
Just take all your balls. Peel them.
Orient them.
Orient them towards.
Peel your.
Towards senses.
Peel your oranges, folks.
Yep.
It's about to get citric.
Yeah.
I'm here. Okay.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I'm going to get juiced.
so go to the BScotch Discord, I guess. Like, I don't really know where to look, but just like keep an eye out.
Just look around, man. Look around.
So that's coming up this Thursday. We also have a GDC meetup. We're going to be at GDC.
Surprise.
GDC is March 18 is the first day of GDC. That's a Monday.
Mm-hmm. It's that whole week.
And then it goes for that week.
That Monday is the day.
We're there through Thursday, I think, right? Or Friday?
We're there
through
Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah. So what we decided to do, kind of like what we did when we went to PAX, is where you just went and sort of posted up and hung out. And then a couple people showed up and we chatted about life and stuff. So if you want to just come and say hey to our faces, well, we'll be setting up a little meetup. So if you're in the area, you know, clear that that afternoon. It's basically going to be Monday from 4:30 to maybe like 6:30 or something like that.
Yep, Monday, March 18.
More details about that in future podcast stuff.
And then last bit of news before we get to Question Blitz 2019. Mm-hmm. Shenanicon was our little mini convention that we did in October of last year. We're doing it again. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to do it better this time and slightly larger. And that's going to be happening September 28. We now have the official date, and we're going to have Eventbrite tickets coming up on the 6th of March, so the day that this podcast comes out. And you can go to meet.bscotch.net to get tickets for that. We don't currently even know what's going to be at this thing.
We'll figure it out in the weeks before.
Yeah. Last year was great. We did a live podcast episode. We let people play some like early demos of Levelhead, and we just hung out, had some good food, and then like went out to the bar afterwards. Mm-hmm. I think
we're still gonna do a live podcast. I think
we're gonna do a live podcast. We're gonna
after that
we don't know
because the rest all depends on the state of Levelhead and who knows what's gonna be going on at that time. So
yeah,
but it's probably a chance just to see for us to see you, for you to see us, and then for you to see your fellow shenanigans just mm-hmm. all in real human life.
Yeah,
meet some folks. Have a
good
time.
I think it'd be about 4 hours.
Yep,
about 4 hours long of an event on a Saturday afternoon. So if you got the time, come on down. It'd be mm-hmm. great. All right, let's get on to questions. These questions come from – it's only 6.5 minutes in and we're getting the questions.
Whoa.
It's going to be great.
So we did it for real. Mm-hmm. When we talked about it last week, I thought, no, that's
no
not
way.
Gonna happen.
No way. We should talk for about 20 more minutes about
– how that was not going to happen.
Yeah. All right, so these questions come from podcast.bscotch.net. People can now vote on each other's questions there, and it's just a flurry
and
of
also,
activity.
If you're getting, if you're getting confused by all these URLs we're throwing out here, just go to bscotch.net. That's all you got to do.
Yep.
All the links are there. Just go to one place.
Yeah, or just kind of like get into a monk-like Zen state, mm-hmm. and just the links will come to you.
Yep.
You know, you don't need to go anywhere.
Because we will email
you. Because we're all one with the universe. Mm-hmm. The links are inside you the whole time. First question comes from Beaky Bop-a-Boop.
Yes, Beaky.
Beaky Bop-a-Boop.
Beaky's been asking a lot of good questions.
Yeah. Beaky Bop-a-Boop says
– Or sorry, Mr. or Mrs. Bop-a-Boop. I want to make sure.
It's Beaky.
Is it Beaky? Yeah. That might be overly familiar. Yeah.
That's true. Would you ever have a guest on from another game studio or maybe Pat Bard? So definite no on Pat Bard because he would be enraged at how we're using our mics probably.
Yeah.
And he would not
He'd
be
giving
to,
us the stink eye the whole time.
I'm just slapping mine just the whole time.
Yeah, he would not be able to focus. So he's out.
It would be fun because like a lot of the people in the pre-alpha were really happy with all the music and the sound effects.
Oh, yeah, the music's great.
So actually, it would be fun to have him on at some point, especially because he's been just –
He'd have to bring his own microphone though because we only have three.
That's true. We only have three mics. So that's
– We got that random shotgun mic hanging out in the corner. We could give him the worst mic just to kind of like
– just to poke him a little bit.
Just to twist that knife.
We've talked about in the past about having other devs on to sort of interview or chat. The problem is that it's really a random role whether or not they are able to sort of just – speak in a good humorous way for an extended period of time.
And even if they can, when you're talking to them normally, that doesn't mean once you put a microphone in their face, that's true.
I know the first time people get nervous.
Yeah, well, even the first five episodes or so of us doing this, I was very weirded out by talking into a microphone.
Yep.
And so if you're bringing in a guest who maybe doesn't do podcasts at all or even interviews, that's their first time now. You know, so that's
And the other aspect about it is actually just the scheduling. So in the past when we were handling
the
editing, all this other stuff, like actually just scheduling and then getting it so you can talk to someone while you recording on your end, they're recording on their end, getting that file and mashing it together and having it sound good.
And know it's going to be high quality on there because, of course, if they record it and their quality is bad, what are we supposed to do now? We just nuked a whole podcast because we can't.
Yeah. I think, though, more importantly, that's just not what this show is. You know, and I mean, like we've been guests on other shows where they just do interviews and like that's their whole thing and they're good at it. And that's what people come to listen to. But on the other hand, like I listen to my brother and me, and every now and then, like very rarely, they bring somebody else on.
Hmm.
And I hate those.
It's always a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not here for this person. I'm here for you guys. You know, get this weirdo out of here. Even if it's a person I like.
But I think more importantly, it's all weird because those three guys are, they're not interviewers.
Yeah.
No. So the interview is always.
They're jokers. Like they just want to crack jokes about everything and turn everything into sort of like a weird sort of improv session.
Yeah.
And of course they're trying not to do that because they still want the interviewee to be comfortable and not feel like they have to kind of like
get into the mix.
Yeah. Because you also want to, if you bring in somebody to interview them, then it's supposed to be all about them now. Right.
And instead so of that about means jokes.
Yeah. And now it can't be about jokes. Cause now you have to make sure you're not making the other person feel out of place. And so, yeah,
plus it's hard to fit into a group that's been talking for 200 hours together.
That's just the recorded part.
Yeah, that's just the recorded part.
It's actually slightly more than 200 hours for us.
Like 205 at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did think about this actually when we were doing some initial changes to the podcast and changing the structure and stuff like that a long time ago. But it was actually originally it was the scheduling problem. We were like, we don't want to have to deal with that, the pain and the technology problem. And then only later on do we realize that we just don't actually want that to be what this is. So
Yeah. It's this show is about what we're talking about.
Yep.
That's what it is. Well, I think part of it is
primarily about shooting the shit, which is hard to do also while interviewing another person.
Yeah. And it's a nice way for us to kind of decompress and like make sure that we step away from our work and process things and also get in touch with our community about things, like taking these questions about people wanting to know, you know, what's coming down the pipe and what we've been up to. And and I think delivering what is expected is important.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's just how it is. Next question comes from My Secret Weapon. We haven't heard from Sher in a while. Is he still alive? Or all y'all working him to an early grave? Can you call him in to say, hey, just so we know he's okay? Much love, guys. You're an awesome crew.
Did we get him?
No, he's headphoned up. He's busy. Mm-hmm.
He's working.
Or not alive, one of the two.
yes, busy.
He has headphones on. We haven't checked his pulse, but no, he's doing great. He's been taking over he developed our game pipe, which is our system that sends the games through the tubes of the internet to a build machine and then deploys our patches everywhere. So he and Adam have been collaborating a lot on that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of the reason why we're able to do now this alpha or the pre-alpha and the alpha really comfortably is actually because of this game pipe thing that's been in the works now. So it's part of that overall switch to the DevOps stuff that we did, where it's how can we make it so we don't have to deploy once every week or two and can actually deploy, you know, every day if we want or every couple hours if we want. So he's been crushing it on that. And a big part of it came from when we did Global Hack. He and Adam worked together a little bit doing some tool stuff. And that just like
– it woke up a beast.
It turned up – yeah, it turns out that is Sher's thing. And so he's just been on fire doing all this tools dev stuff.
It's been fun to watch.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because, you know, he came into this studio kind of wanting to be a game developer, like to make
designer,
the games.
Yeah.
And as it seemed like as he worked more and more on it, he always just kind of ended up being just really interested in like solving these weird technical issues, you know, and actually a lot less interested in the games specifically. And so, yeah, it's kind of cool to see somebody like find their programming spirit animal. Yeah, so he's been doing great and will continue to do so. Mm-hmm. But he's not dead.
You're definitely not dead.
No, there's that.
Basically now, every time you play any of our games, you're hearing the living ghost of Sher.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He's the one that made it appear in your hand.
That's true.
Well, more specifically, he made a demon that made it.
That's true, which means he could die at any moment and they would still get
– and his demons will live on.
Yeah.
To carry his memory forward.
Yeah.
He's super alive.
He's doing
totally alive. Totally alive. Nothing to worry about. Next question comes from OXDODECADO.
It sounds like a hex code.
It's a hex code for, again, hopefully something fine. Who, what, when, where, why, and how is Butterscotch Shenanigans nowadays? So this is a five-parter.
Okay.
Who, what, when, where, wait. Six part. All right.
Let's start at the top.
Who? That's us. All right. Where? What is
Butterscotch? What is it?
It's an entertainment company.
We used to be a mobile game studio.
Now we're a real game studio. Now we're an all game studio. To,
yeah. Now we're a mega cross platform game studio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When?
Now.
Right. Just living.
Okay. Where? We're here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. We are in a second floor office now instead of a basement.
I didn't even realize how much higher off the ground we've gotten.
We're how much higher are we? 20 feet? We're a lot higher. It also
depends on what
we've really moved up, you guys.
What's your altitude at your house, though? I don't know.
You're saying absolute?
Yeah.
I feel like I spend a lot of time going downhill on my way over
it
here.
So it would actually be lower somehow.
We might have gone down.
It's hard to say.
That's why they call it downtown.
Because you go down into it.
When you're coming in there, you got to go down. It's been good, though.
I love living
there. Most importantly, there's snacks here, and they just keep appearing.
Yeah, we
just keep refilling
the
snacks.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. All right, why? Now this – wait.
Ooh, this is
what I've been actually kind of struggling with.
Why are we doing this?
Why do we do this? And I've kind of realized who gives a shit. Because you got to do what you enjoy.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't really matter if you know why you enjoy it, you know?
I mean, I think it can give you some – I think it does matter. I think it can give you some internal peace, you know, unless you've just given up on it.
No, but the idea is but if you don't need to know why because you're already at peace.
But I think for some people, knowing the why is how you get to the peace part.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But the question is, are you one of those people, you know?
I think I know why because it's fun for one. Uh-huh. Very fun for us.
But you got – but if you're really taking a step back, why is it fun?
Yeah, keep going down that fucking rabbit.
Because it's very rewarding.
But why is it rewarding?
To build things every day in a way that provokes a lot of internal growth and mastery, which is what we do, right? You come up against a problem, you're like, I don't know how the fuck to do this. I've got to figure it out.
Showering. Well, I don't know where the fuck my towel is.
Exactly. I got to figure out how to get this
solve
coat.
This problem.
I'm going to turn this coat into a towel.
Very rewarding. That's about
and then you got to, on top of that, then you get to, of course, you know, deal with you rascals every day and our other butterscotch rascals like Cher and Zampi. And it's just fun. And then on top of that, you know, we get to publish things that just make people happy, which most jobs are not really about making other people happy in a very like a super direct.
It's often about making your boss happy or less not happy.
Yeah. So I really
less not happy.
Really enjoy just the whole kit and caboodle, as they say.
If you can go through your day and be like, I made somebody less not happy today. Yeah. I feel like I really did it.
Mm-hmm. But did you also make yourself less not happy today?
Yes.
Because in the end, that's what really matters.
It's about making yourself less not happy.
Yep.
So why? That seems fine.
Yeah, good.
That seems fine.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking about like, you know, because you could do anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you just wanted to do something and you just put every single ounce of everything you have into getting that to that point, you can generally do that. Mm-hmm. Like if you wanted to go to space, you could probably get there. Well, I guess probably.
Yeah. The thing is like,
you can at least tangentially become associated with going to space. Uh-huh. You know, like you could end up working as an engineer in a space program, or you could, you know, whatever. Like you could
be a pilot and just be up real high.
Just you could get up there.
You get in a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
You could get like 10% of the way to space, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Space is not just watch really all the documentaries, you know, about space.
And then you're basically Kerbal Space Program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like
maybe that's your thing.
Yeah, you can always be working toward that thing. And it's like, why this thing? Why? And I don't know.
Just pick a thing. It's fine.
Yeah. Just started doing it and it's awesome. So just keep doing it.
Yeah. My biggest thing is that, the why is always, if you try to do it in retrospect, you're just wrong. You know, the why is always because I found peace and joy in what I'm doing. You know, like that's the why.
Or is it because it paid the bills?
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's a lot of the
you
time.
You may have not found the peace and joy in what you're doing. So there could be the why is just because it pays the bills or because you're stuck in a rut and can't find a way out. Or because you're too afraid of change.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah. Or because you feel like you have to do what your parents made you feel like you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That happens.
Yep.
But yeah.
So there's a lot of whys.
There's a lot of whys.
But my why is because I found peace and joy in what I'm doing.
Yeah, we got a good why.
That's good.
We've managed to land a good spot.
And the last question is how?
That's the interesting one.
Well, say how is butterscotching? Does this mean like are we doing fine?
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Or is it more of a deeper how? Like
it's a lot easier to answer.
How does this happen?
Yeah, we're doing fine. Just
we're doing
that
fine.
One quick.
Otherwise,
how does this happen?
Otherwise, hard work and serendipity.
Yep. Yeah, I gave a talk at GEC last year about how called Crashlands Design by Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Is that publicly visible?
It's only in the GDC vault because it was not well received.
It was well received. There was like three people who were just pissed.
It got like a middle of the road review. Because basically, I submitted a bunch of talks that I thought were way more interesting.
Uh-huh.
Because my answer was like, how did we design Crashlands? And the answer is like, we just did it. Like we iterated, right? And that's how we do everything is we don't have very direct long-term plans. We know what's coming next.
I mean, I'm going to say, I think your answer was way more compelling in the presentation than we just did it. Because you talked about the iterative development style.
Yeah, well, I talked about how that iteration happens. Yeah. But the response from some people was like, well, this doesn't seem reasonable.
Yeah.
That's how, though. I mean, that is how.
That is how we do it.
But what are you going to do? All right. Next question comes from Zivix. What is your favorite mechanic and levelhead? Are there any particular features in the game that have you feeling extra jazzed?
It's the throwing. Yeah. 100%.
That grappler.
The grappler and the throw is just – that's what it is.
Makes the game. And we didn't even have it until 7 months into development.
Yeah. Well, and the funniest part, too, is like a lot of the levels don't – they don't rely on it in the sense that – like you grab the package and then you're kind of off and you're not really grabbing anything for the rest of the level. But
even when you're dead, there are still often places where you just like throw the package and get some coins or something.
Yeah, you just throw the package around. It picks up coins. You can thump enemies with it, which is just so fun.
Although I did just play the campaign level where you're – it's what it's called. It's called like keep up mm-hmm. or something.
Keep up, okay.
Keep up, okay. you have to ride a track and you have to keep up with it. You know, mm-hmm. So you have to keep on jumping off the track and doing all these things. But one of the things they have to do is throw the package up to get coins mm-hmm. periodically, like while you're in the middle of all, so they get ready for combat and stuff. And so just having to throw things just periodically, even for no reason, just adds this sort of
it's just fun.
Well, it comes down to that. Like it's fun to just play catch.
I find myself throwing it with for no reason at all.
Oh, yeah. I'm always just like, if I'm just walking with the package, I just start punting it.
Right.
Or I'll just shoot my grappler out. I don't even – not even have anything to throw. I'm just like, weep, 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 you know, shooting it out there.
Yep.
So I think that to me is the – weirdly enough, it's just like the thing.
Yeah.
At the heart of the game.
And I think otherwise the what's his name? The face blaster power-up,
mm-hmm.
whatever that one's called.
Yeah.
That,
which isn't available yet.
Which isn't available yet, but it shoots itself backwards by shooting a projectile out of its face, mm-hmm. and then it can bounce off of that very projectile. That's just such a weird fucking thing that by default is actually terrible. Because,
it's easily my favorite thing in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Because normally you don't want to shoot yourself backwards. That's almost never what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And yet that's this whole... that's its whole thing.
But once you can.
Once you can, now you got to figure out how to do it. Now you're like, okay, I have to jump and spin around and then shoot my face off.
Yeah.
And then like bounce my face off of the thing and then hit that. And, uh-huh. So it starts to get really fun and weird.
The face blaster, I feel like we're going to start to see the coolest trick shots.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to get this power up done in the hands of mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
Because, I do actually have on the Levelhead subreddit some videos of fighting things with the face blaster and stuff.
Is it not in any campaign levels?
No. The campaigns are constricted just so we didn't have to deal with all the bugs that were associated with that suite of content before Alpha.
Yeah.
So there's not like the flip whips, the canoodles, a bunch of the – like two of the enemies and then power-ups aren't even there.
I think we're going to then like – once this Alpha's done, we're going to start fleshing the rest of the campaign out and then we'll hopefully test everything that we have in beta mm-hmm. And then go from there. So – but yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because for the longest time we were working on the game – this comes back to like that iterative – design. Just like for the longest time we're working on the game and we felt pretty good about the editor and we felt good about the feel of the
playing
like mm-hmm. of the platforming, but we also were not confident in the game's ability to differentiate itself from anything else mm-hmm. because okay, you got a power up that lets you wall jump, you know, cool.
Neat.
You got a power up that like lets you fly a little bit. Okay. But still you just run around and you push some blocks and you jump on enemies, but the game doesn't feel like it knows why it exists, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we added that grappler,
then all of
a sudden it was like, oh shit, this is the thing.
Well, because it also broke out. Now the level's not about just getting to the end, like a classic platformer, but it's about the first half is find the package and then the second half is get to the end. And so it's actually got this two-phase play in every single level, which even on a subtle level, like you're always just sort of – if you don't have the package yet, you're always just kind of –
You're lancy.
Well, it gives you a sense of purpose that I honestly have never really felt in most other platforming kinds of games where, like, I'm getting this package to the goal. Like, that's it's not just about you getting through. You know, you're bringing something there. Mm-hmm. And then this happened on accident because we had these push blocks that you literally, like, they were heavy and you would push them. And actually, if you watch Sam's Bob Ross video, he still referred to the throw blocks as push blocks because they used to be push blocks. And so when we first implemented the grappler, then just to test out some of the mechanics, I made this level called Writer's Block, mm-hmm. which was like a level that had a lot of spikes on it. And you started with a throw block and you had to use the throw block to navigate through the level. And then I sent this over to Sam and we started playing. We're like, this is actually like,
it's interesting. That was the thing. It was so interesting.
And I was like, mm-hmm. if I felt bad leaving that block behind, like, cause I still beat the level. And I used this block was with me the whole way.
It's a companion cube.
And it became like a companion cube. And then when I beat the level, I had to just ditch it. And I was like, I kind of wanted that to be the thing. Like, I wanted to bring the block with me.
Meanwhile, we had the package, which was actually previously just floating in the goal. So your goal was actually just to get to the
package.
And so we sort of were like, oh, what if we take the package
take it out
and put it over there?
Make it its own thing.
Do you think Valve would give us a free license to put the companion cube in there as a skin?
I think once we get going, you know, if it's successful, I'll be going.
Oh, I was thinking we'd go the other way.
That's not going to happen.
Valve can license the package. I don't want to put a companion cube in there. I mean, this is the package. It's the package.
Just as like a skin, you know, like mm-hmm. that you can unlock.
No, this package is sacred, Adam. don't mess with the package. So it's definitely the grappler, definitely the thrower. And then we also have some really badass power-ups. I'm excited to see what people do with all this stuff. Next question comes from Fly Hoppy Axe Romper.
Mm-hmm. Also a good one.
Who says, if you were a character in the Harry Potter universe and could pick your own Patronus charm animal, what would it be?
The problem is I don't know really what any of these words mean.
So the Patronus charm, from what my very high-level understanding, because I took a quiz once.
Uh-huh. Was it a BuzzFeed quiz?
It wasn't a BuzzFeed one. It was the Pottermore quiz for what your Patronus is.
Okay.
And in the explainer, the Patronus is it's basically your spirit animal that mm-hmm. comes out and it is made of pure
happiness,
light, or goodness or something.
And
it kills Dementors or anything, chases them away.
Anything that's evil is like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
So wait, then why?
As far as we could tell, it does nothing else.
Is that like Harry Potter's owl then, or is that?
No.
That's a different thing?
So this is like it's like summoning your spirit animal to chase off ghosts. That's, I guess, the best way to put it. Why,
specifically a certain kind of ghost.
Yeah. So then why was there even the rest of all the books if he could just summon a ghost that would make you
Because it
away?
Doesn't like kill evil things. It just chases them off.
It chases them and they're like, oh, dang it.
unless they're so evil that it's a problem, in which case nothing happens.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So and then the Patronus is supposed to be a symbol. It's your spirit animal. So it's supposed to be like a symbol of who you are.
Gotcha.
As a person.
Yeah, it's weird because in the books there's a lot about this Patronus thing. And then it ultimately ends up
doesn't it just chase off stuff?
It's only useful in one specific exact scenario and is never really used again, as far as I recall.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, we have a lot of beefs about
Harry Potter. I got so many beefs.
So Patronus is basically a one-time use magic animal that can chase
magic
away
ghost
something
animal.
You magic ghost animal that can chase away something that you don't like.
Yes.
Specifically Dementors. Which suck your soul out of your face.
I've never seen
– That's not great.
None of the Patronuses I've seen are like hyper-violent animals. I would get either a shark or a bear. Those are my two choices, 100%.
And not a bear holding a shark.
Yeah. A bear with sharks for arms so it can run fast.
So not a shark with bear arms.
I think I would prefer a bear holding a shark, making pew pew noises and using it like a machine gun.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a spirit animal, why does it have to be real?
Yeah, I could be whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because that'll chase down some demons. I tell you what.
Yeah, but also like it's all for show, right? Because it's just going pew pew pew. You know, and the shark's just like hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't do anything. Like nothing can happen. But it could presumably scare away.
And also, since it's a spirit animal, then it's a ghost, which means physics don't have to apply to it either.
So it could just swim. It could be a shark.
Right. So you could have like my spirit animal is like a blue whale but with man legs. Like, it's just got two normal sized human legs.
Mm-hmm. So you can't even see them relatively.
And it just runs along.
But if we take this, to full metaphor, like mm-hmm. all the way through, then our Dementors are shitty players. Because they suck our souls out of our face.
Okay.
Right? What do you mean?
The shitty players who are like, who we have to moderate and who are,
like people who are being shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not people who are bad. I don't understand. Our customers
players
who
are shits. Yeah. And to each other. Yeah. So those are our Dementors, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need tools that, we need something that scares them away, right? But that doesn't really do anything. So it's basically like moderation.
It's like a mute.
It's a mute button.
Yeah.
It's really my
juice box.
Juice box. Well, he doesn't mute things, though. He just does his own.
Yet.
So Patronus is just your way of muting Dementors.
It's a mute button on the internet.
Mine's a blue whale with human legs.
Mine's a bear with shark arms. Yep.
And also the whole time it just screams like that sheep from that YouTube.
I would want mine to scream.
I'd run away from that.
To scream like that seal from that YouTube video.
Yeah.
Screams like a man. That'd be amazing.
My Patronus is a seal that screams like a man.
It wouldn't be a case that if a Dementor, because do Dementors get like sent to you? I can't remember how it works.
In the mail,
I think. They just show up. Don't they like?
They're kind of like ring wraiths.
Can't you like direct? Yeah, but can't you direct them at people or some shit?
Isn't in the books the fucking school administrators like brought Dementors into the school as like something a security like force or something?
Yes, I think so. And then. So if you're out past
there
curfew,
a lot of
you
get your soul.
This seems like a real high risk.
That's harsh. And then like in class, the defense against the dark – I think I'm remembering this now. Hmm. The defense against the dark arts class, they're like, all right, listen, here's the deal. There are now soul-sucking demons wandering the hallways because uh-huh. that's new policy. So your first lesson for this year is to learn how to summon your spirit animal to chase them away in case they go rogue and try to suck your soul out of your face sort of unfairly.
Yeah.
If they're doing it because you're out past curfew or because you showed up late to class, then that's your problem now. Right? But most importantly, you have to be able to summon a whale with human legs right now to keep yourself from losing your soul.
There are a lot of questionable judgments made by the adults in the Harry Potter universe.
Now, listen. I don't even remember where the fuck I heard this. It was on a podcast pretty recently. But apparently, there were questions in the Harry Potter community about the fact that there's bathrooms. In Hogwarts, because they're like, why the fuck do wizards have bathrooms? It doesn't make any sense. They're using
just teleport out your
right.
Shit.
They're using modern human plumbing. Why? Like, why can't they just like, and they can like manifest food from the ether. Why can't they just like manifest their waste products? Boom, right out of their body. Mm. You know, like why do they have toilets at all? They're wizards. Mm-hmm. You know,
but I guess what if you miss? You know, now you've just manifested your guts away.
Yeah, and apparently. You know what I mean? Well, apparently, J.K. Rowling answered this question legit and said that
– she retconned it, I assume.
Yeah. Well, what she said was that actually it wasn't until recently that wizards brought in modern plumbing. And it used to be that they would just relieve themselves wherever they stood and then vanish the
I think so she's just trolling people.
So then there's a bunch of people who are like, so you're telling me that
that's why they always wear robes.
Yeah, they just have these robes. So they're just like, wherever they are, it's time. It's time to do the business.
Mm-hmm. They're not even potty trained. That's the craziest thing about wizards. Those old wizards. Yeah. They're not potty trained at all. They're just like shitting all over. Yeah. It's crazy.
But I guess if you're removing it at the same rate that it's coming out, then it's as if it never happened.
So
you know what I mean?
I can see Sam trying to
parse this.
Is there like a beam of light coming out of the wand?
Yeah, because
like,
you got to flick the wrist.
Because it's got to be continuous for this to
work. But do you have to point at it? Because I feel like it's very – well,
this is what I'm talking about with the aiming problem. Because now if you're a little bit off – because like also imagine trying to teleport all the shit out of your guts because they wrap around.
Yeah,
and
no,
it's like a crazy
really
maze. So you have to somehow cast a perfect thing that fits just inside of your wacky guts.
And we also know that gut flora is very important.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure you don't vanish the bacteria.
Yeah.
And also you got
to
make sure.
Although, how important is it if you never have to poop?
But you also have to make sure that you don't vanish it until it's done being digested by your body fully.
Well, here's another question. Otherwise, why not just move nutrients right into your bloodstream? Why go through this whole eating
process? Why do wizards eat?
In fact, what I would do is I would just eat as much as I want, teleport the food out of my stomach, and then just put nutrients right in where they're – like the proper nutrients in the correct balance. Just put them right in my bloodstream.
Mm. You know, so you could, as a wizard, you could just always have pudding in your mouth.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have gone with pudding. Yeah.
Where's that wizard?
That's old Jerry Puddingmouth. He's just always got pudding. You don't talk to him because he's trying to talk. It's just gross. Pudding is just flowing, just flowing out of his mouth. Like a river.
That's a good point. Where are these?
It's like those Monty Python scenes where people vomit for like a minute. Uh-huh.
It's weird that they can do fucking anything.
And they're not.
And then they just don't.
And they just go to school.
And complain about it.
They go to the bathroom mm-hmm. and the normal toilet, apparently, except other than a while ago.
Faces demon sucked.
They don't always have they don't always have their mouth full of pudding.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's weird. Yeah,
nothing about this universe makes any sense.
Magic is infinite and can do anything.
I wonder
yet they just don't.
If the inventor of the Dyson vacuum were to see a Dementor, he'd be like, "We need to make
trademark infringement.
We need to make a soul-sucking demon that does not actually use the sucking power in order to do its job." You know, because that's his whole thing with those Dyson vacuums. They're not using suction.
I mean, they are using suction.
But they're not – what are they not doing? They don't have like a thing?
I assume they're using, you know, cyclone
No, they use magic.
That's it.
Or magic.
Yeah. Maybe the thing about Dysons is there's a wand in there and it's just
– it's just rotating real fast.
Just spinning around, sucking up the dirt. Yeah. So you know what this – I think the only solution here
is – that actually reminds me. I heard a story that may not be true about somebody with their like roommate or something who just didn't know that you had to empty a vacuum. They just thought like – you just sucked up and it's just gone now?
It's just gone now.
So.
I like that.
Yeah. It's just gone now. So maybe that's how Dyson vacuums are supposed to be. Maybe actually that is how they work, but it also just it just imports in dust and stuff in there so that you don't know that it's actually using magic.
I think there's a movie featuring Jack Black called Envy. I think I'm remembering this right. He invents a product that you spray it on dog poop and then it goes away. It's just gone. It just vanishes.
But this is a movie?
What was the plot? What happened?
It was basically like this guy.
What if you sprayed on things that aren't poop?
No, I think nothing happens.
Yeah, it doesn't. But, I don't think it goes dark.
I remember being very dissatisfied with this movie because basically the movie follows a person who he's just like working his normal day job and stuff. And then he's got this kind of like deadbeat neighbor who never does anything. And at some point, this neighbor invents this magical spray that like makes dog poop go away and he becomes a billionaire. And the guy who works his 9-to-5, he's just enraged by this because he's like, there has to be something wrong with this because where is it going?
So that's the right question.
Where is it going? And I don't recall the movie ever even answering that question. Like they just – that was – it's like this guy he's enraged by this, and so then he goes on this wild adventure trying to prove that there's actually something horrible going on here.
But where is it going?
And I don't think they ever found out.
There are a lot of movies with just weird – like remember Flubber?
I like Flubber.
But what was even the plot? It was just – he invented a thing that bounced forever.
He invented
forever.
A thing and then
–
probably
some
the
evil person.
Tried to take it, yeah, I think.
It's always about
was
that.
It?
It's like an E.T. situation.
Maybe I'm just looking that up because it feels like it fits perfect.
Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine like why would we give a shit about a thing that bounces a lot? And like how did they make us care?
Flubber did not obey the rules of what inertia? Like it just stop.
Kept bouncing.
Yeah,
it also it was alive bouncing.
And it was sentient
and it had a soul.
So, yeah, I think it was the case that
so
everyone,
it was an E.T. situation.
Yeah, everyone was like, we need to use this because this will literally give us infinite energy.
Right.
And the guy was like, no,
it's got a soul.
And
they were
like,
can you make one without a soul? He's like, no.
And there was Flubber 2, which I don't even want to talk about it.
They totally ruined the Flubber universe, I feel like.
Just really flew off the rails. With infinitely increasing acceleration, you know?
Now, my favorite movie that nobody has seen is a movie called Noise.
I have not seen this.
I have not
It's
heard
a movie
of it.
About a man who lives in, I believe, New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He has moved there like a few years ago. And he just can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much fucking noise all the time. And it's always these car alarms. And it's like a revenge movie where this guy basically goes on a crusade to like destroy car alarms. Like that's his.
Is it a movie or is it a like real life?
It's a movie.
Documentary.
It's a movie. Yeah. So first he becomes like a vigilante where he figures out where to like what wires to snip in cars to make the car alarm stop working. So anytime a car alarm goes off, he just roams around the streets at night. When a car alarm goes off, he pops the hood, he snips the thing, and then he slaps a sticker on their windshield. It's like, your car alarm was going off, and I snipped it. Eventually, he tries to impose, he tries to like get legislation passed to ban car alarms, because it turns out that there's actually no evidence that, according to this, right, there's no evidence that car alarms actually stop robberies. And so they really
I
wouldn't.
I've heard that. I wouldn't doubt it.
So really, they just make a fuckload of noise randomly for no reason and keep people awake at night. And they said, well, like, well, there's no laws about how much noise your car can make. So he buys for $1,000, buys a pickup and fills it with as many speakers and noise amplifiers as possible, and then just starts driving around town at all hours of the day. And then he ends up just parking it in front of the mayor's house and is playing sirens and like as much sound as he can possibly make as long as possible until finally they pass a law. And I was like, yes, this movie is great.
That's how you do it.
Great movie. All right. Anyway, what were we talking about? Harry Potter.
We covered it. I think we answered it.
Yep. Whale with human legs. All right. Next
whale
question.
With human legs, mute button, and bear holding a shark.
I love how you just get a mute button. You back shut up.
That's my Patronus.
Patronus is a mute button. Get out of here.
It's the same thing. It doesn't really do anything, but it makes me feel better and makes my life improve, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Next question comes from also from Beaky Baba Boop.
Killing it.
Yeah. The next Prime podcast is 193, which is the current one.
Oh, shit.
But it is also a happy numbered podcast, a lucky numbered podcast, and a centered 32 gonal numbered podcast.
I bet you made all those up.
I don't know.
But also, math is weird, so those all could be real.
On a related note, do you have any favorite numbers?
You're always doing 8-bit stuff, Adam.
They're convenient, you know, doing base 2 stuff.
Maybe we should go further back up the chain of command.
0 is the best number, I think.
Well, 0 is not a number, though. It's nothing. You know what I mean?
No, that's the whole point.
It's just a...
I don't know what you mean because you're just wrong.
I learned that when this concept of 0 was being invented, this is all completely made up, I'm sure, is that it was hard to come up with like what that was supposed to be like. And so the idea was you draw a circle because you're sort of like drawing a circle. You're circling the nothing that's in there. Mm-hmm. You're like, it's this
hole.
It's the circle. It's the nothing in there. That's what the number is.
So when you're drawing a zero, what you're actually doing is just you're
circling.
You're outlining
nothing.
You're nothing.
Pointing out.
You're like, look at
what's not look in there.
Like when you draw a one, the one is pointing at just anything, but it can only point at one thing.
At one thing, because it's only got one point.
Yeah. If you got a two, or
it's pointing in two directions, it has 3 points in three directions.
Four. And you just kind of pretend one of them isn't there.
You ignore one.
Because there's a whole like the two, you know, like one is the loneliest number, but except for two sometimes or whatever the fuck that song is.
Well, one has 2 points and two has 3 points. So that's trash.
But then three also has 3 points.
It does, but it also has two humps on the back, so that cancels out one.
Oh, yeah, because you got to add the humps. If you draw two has a one hump also.
Well, no, if you draw two in cursive, then it's actually just got two.
If you draw anything in cursive, then why would you do this?
Then what have you done?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to learn cursive in third grade. And
cursive makes a curse. That's its whole thing. Maybe that's why we curse so much.
Because of the cursive?
The weird thing is I actually enjoyed writing in cursive. I didn't like getting taught it because it was – very frustrated. Like the teachers weren't. We had a very bad teacher. Remember her?
They weren't particularly passionate about cursive.
Yeah,
they were mostly.
They were just kind of mean about it.
They were very into cursive enforcement, you know, in sort of like a totalitarian dictator sense.
It's kind of like language prescriptivists, you know, where it's just like
this is how you're supposed.
This is just
talk.
How things are supposed to be because that's how it's always been. Yeah. You know.
But it's a fun thing to write in once you know how to do it. And as a kid in third grade, which I think is when we learned it, second or third grade. It made me feel so adult.
You do feel very fancy.
Yes. I was like, oh, I'm an adult now because you see the script.
I still write thank you cards and stuff in cursive because I feel like that adds that grown-up adult touch, you know?
I write them in a hideous caps font.
Yeah, that's my fallback.
Yeah,
because it's a good one. That's the only legible way I can
write. And if you do it with one of those shitty pens that it stamps part of the text and then you stamp it again with the side of your hand, you know?
Yeah.
Really get that sort of like
– it's very authentic when you've smeared the ink incomprehensibly.
Someone's like, wow, this person's hand was sweaty when they're writing this and they have terrible handwriting.
That is the main way you can tell. You know when you get those letters that are like sort of like fake real handwriting that you get from companies, you know? You can always tell they're fake because there's not hand smears on it.
Yep.
So that's the thing to look out
for. And also, all the letters are the same size. There's no lines on the paper, and like somehow they've perfectly written like the O that is you know 6 inches away from the other O, still exactly on the same line.
Though I do know some people who have such good handwriting that they could do that.
Yeah,
where you look at it and you're like, did you type this?
But those people are high achievers. You know, they're not going to be working a company where their whole job is writing on an envelope. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean?
Who knows?
So if you have really good handwriting, you're probably an astronaut or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Right.
I think it's not a doctor though, because
no, it's been established.
Now, speaking of language purists,
hmm.
we talked a while back off mic about the problem of there not being a word that means the opposite of complimentary. And I'm wondering if you guys have had any more time to think about this. Here's the problem.
Mm.
We have a word that's complimentary. Complimentary means you take this thing, you take this other thing, bring them together.
They're good.
That's better. Like, that's way better than if you had each of them individually,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, if you take – if you brush your teeth and then drink some orange juice, that's way worse, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah, each one of those things by themselves, fine.
It's
together,
fine. It's not great, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, brushing your teeth is fine, and having orange juice is also fine.
Mm-hmm.
When you put them together, everything is bad.
Yeah,
about
it's
it,
real bad.
What is that? Have we figured that out yet?
No. Do you have one, or are you just asking it because I have no idea?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You didn't give us any heads up on this.
Just questions. Right? Yeah, I didn't have time to think about this beforehand. We came up with a bunch of them weeks ago, but none of them.
None
really
of
worked.
Them stuck. I just want to put this
I
out
think
there.
Much
the
more importantly, whelmed is a word.
Whelmed is a word.
I found this. I was reading Moby Dick, and they used the word whelm.
Yeah,
it's a word.
So that's really important, and I think everybody should start using it in your everyday life.
Whelm my coffee mug,
yep.
Barista.
Whelm it. And then they're like, is this enough? Like, no, I'm careful. I'm getting overwhelmed.
I'm overwhelmed. Yeah. Or if somebody only partially fills up your coffee, like, I'm very underwhelmed. Or my coffee is very underwhelmed.
Yeah.
Is that how you use it? Could you properly whelm?
I have no idea if that's actually
could you properly whelm? I asked for 10 ounces.
I only saw it in one sentence, so I don't quite have enough to parse.
Okay. Yeah,
but I'm sure we can look it up later.
Well, I want to put it out there for our listeners. Come up with a word that is the opposite of complimentary.
Well, it's that toothpaste, orange juice. Like, that's the scenario we're talking about.
Right. You take two things that are fine by themselves, then you combine them, and now it is so much worse.
Yeah. It's greater than the sum of its parts, but
in a bad way.
In a bad way.
It's far less. Yeah.
It's not
less than the sum. It's like the
– It is far
it
less
takes you the
than
opposite
the sum of
direction.
Its parts. Than the subtraction of its parts. I don't know.
It is more, but just
if you were measuring the goodness of something and you're like toothpaste, zero. Like mm-hmm. it's fine. It's just it's not good or bad. It's neutral.
Right.
Right. And I've got
it should probably be non-zero because zero is too magic of a number. You know.
Well, no, because I feel like there's positive and there's negative experiences. Right.
Yeah. I think toothpaste like is a little bit above.
All right.
Zero.
So toothpaste is a 0.1.
Yeah, that works.
And orange juice, you're like, no, that's like a 0.3.
That's
fine.
Just
it's
give
pretty
it a
good.
One.
You know, it's
give
not.
It, yeah, give it a 1.5.
If a
minimum.
1 is like the best, you know, like a 1
oh,
is that's
on
okay.
a 0 to 1.
Yeah.
Scale.
So a 1 is like that's chocolate.
You didn't give us the fucking scale.
Well, I mean, it should be intuitive. It's a 1.
I mean, you got toothpaste.
Okay, this is a percentage of goodness scale.
So is a scale minus 1 to 1 then?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is badness to goodness.
Gotcha. Okay. And it's a normalized minus 1 to 1 scale right. for mathematical.
Right.
Convenience.
Most bad. It's like -1 is murder, and 1 is chocolate. Like those are the two. Ends those of the your, spectrum.
Wait, what kind of chocolate?
Milk chocolate. Okay.
Just like this any, is, it's just a any old milk scale. Chocolate. Like every milk chocolate all gets a 1?
Yep.
Okay. Right.
So we don't need to split hairs. Point being, toothpaste is a 0.1.
I think on this scale, it's now more of a 0.05, I think, probably.
Toothpaste is a 0.05.
Yeah.
Orange juice is like a 0.3, maybe a 0.2, depending.
I'd say. Yeah.
I'd put them together and you get murdered.
Put them together you get -1. It's the same, as,
literally
it's the same as if you've killed someone.
Uh-huh. So, feels like it anyways.
So things that are complementary, you know, you add up that 0.1 and that 0.2 or whatever, and you get like a 0.6. Like mm-hmm. that's you. You got your synergy going on. What is the word for when things produce a far worse, not even just an added together mm-hmm. combo, like a far worse result?
Was it energy a thing?
Energy was a thing. It's the opposite of synergy.
Yeah,
that's the funniest word.
That's a dumb word. Like
but it might
energy.
Be, it might just be the only word available though. It was energistic.
Energy.
Energy. Well, we could do better. As
we didn't
as
last time.
Mankind could do better than energy, I yeah. feel like.
So you mean everybody else can do better?
Yeah, we can't. Yeah. But I mean, like, collectively as a species, we can do it. All right, next question comes from Tim Conceivable. How do you all decide on podcast titles, and what will be used in the cold opening at the beginning of each podcast?
Here's the trick, we don't, yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
So we just walk out of this room, and then we're done. And then it's between Fat Bard and Jenny. To figure out that.
Yep.
Yeah, so Patrick decides on the cold open.
Yep. Jen picks a title.
And Jenny picks a title.
Yep.
She writes notes on the cast and like looks for shit that went wrong and whatever. And so she's just taking notes as she goes, just looking out for some phrase that could end up being the title. And then she just has a list of the phrases at the end and then picks them.
It just has to be weird.
It's basically it's just that detection that just constantly is going for if there'd be a good band name when you have a conversation. It's the same sort of thing. So you just listen to the podcast and pick one of the band names that comes out of it. And that's it.
And we know that Fat Bard's approach is he looks at the waveform for bursts of sound, which is generally us laughing at something.
Yeah, he goes a little bit before that.
And he's like, was this like 10 seconds long? All right, that's fine. And then he puts that at the beginning of the podcast.
He's got a very methodical approach.
Yeah, so we do start recording before we actually start the cast. And so then he clips out that earlier part. And sometimes there's, there's some waveforms in there that are real spiky. So he might grab those.
Other times there's secrets that we're talking about that can never see the light of day.
And we're recording those as well and just sending those right over to Fat Bard.
And then hoping for the best.
And we're like, it's fine. He's probably not going to hear it. Mm-hmm. No big deal. Next question comes from Retro Banana Man NL. If you just work normal hours, but you eat a lot of crunchy food during your work, are you crunching?
Also, Richard Brandeman is now a moderator. So
congratulations.
Welcome to the team, Retro.
still not licensed.
That's a separate issue. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't do those.
Nope.
I think if you're eating crunchy foods, you are crunching.
No. Yes.
Definitely.
The food is crunching. Are you crunching?
Yeah, I don't think you are.
Well, the food doesn't crunch. You crunch it.
Is crunch a verb or
apparently it's a verb
or a.
A crunch is a thing that you do.
You can crunch. It's an onomatopoeia. So it is the sound of crushing something with your jaws.
You can make a crunching sound.
You can crunch something.
Are you making a crunching sound?
Yes. Because crunch is an onomatopoeia. So that's like by definition, if you took a can, empty can, and you compress it, would you say you have crunched it? Because it makes that sound?
I would say maybe the rest of the universe just got wider, you know, and like maybe the can is the same size and we don't know.
You never know.
You thought you were crunching the can, but really your hands stayed the same width apart. And then,
the universe grew around.
Grew around the can.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I mean, I don't. You're right.
I think the only problem with this theory,
there's only one.
It's just that the can changes shape at the same time. Or maybe it doesn't.
The universe changed shape around it.
Right. Because if you were in a certain kind of like, you know, Euclidean geometry space, right?
But if the can
turns into a new kind of space entirely.
The only time I've heard Euclidean geometry as a phrase is when people are spouting weird ass theories. It is the only – because I think – who knows what that means? What does that mean?
Math people.
What is Euclidean geometry?
It's just a whole having like two axes and doing things on that kind of a
Euclidean geometry is regular human math.
Exactly. It's the math that you learn.
So it's one of those things like in non-Euclidean space, they're like, I'm talking about unicorns. I'm talking about whales with human legs.
Yeah, non-Euclidean, they'll be like saying, instead of saying we have like a 2D plane where things are at right angles, you say like, now I have I'm living on a donut that I've twisted three times, right? Mm. And now I want to do some math on the surface of this shape, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have to invent entirely new kinds of math because you
braided a donut.
Yeah, because Euclidean stuff doesn't work there. So this is what I'm saying is when you try to crush that can, what actually happened is you braided a donut.
Yeah.
But now you turn the universe into a donut that now, relatively speaking, makes it so that the Euclidean space that the can was in looks deformed now.
Exactly. So that's what I was saying.
And that's the sound.
The universe.
Yeah. That's the sound of
There has to be a sound that goes along with that. Yeah. You can't just silently change the universe into a different geometric space.
No, it makes a crunching noise.
It makes a crunching noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next question comes from
– Quickly.
Next question comes from My Secret Weapon. Who – or is it what – is your favorite AAA game developer and why?
No shit.
Do you have one?
Do I have
one? I think my favorite AAA games that are still coming out are still the Fallout games.
What about 76 though?
So you're saying Bethesda is your favorite developer?
I think so.
Okay.
As a consequence. But the thing is, I don't actually like any AAA developers.
Yeah.
As a developer.
I think it's – I actually
I
think
like their
it's,
products sometimes.
Yeah. It's weird to be a fan of a publicly traded AAA game studio.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible.
It's hard.
Because who is it? To me, this is the same paradox of being a fan of a sports team.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I love the Ravens. Mm-hmm. That's a team, right?
And you've done that for your whole life. But like, during your whole life, it's now completely new people, yeah. New coach.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's new super owner weird. Even. I think because each one has like its own ethos and stuff that you kind of, you know, it's a team. So you get
love its spirit.
Yeah, you get into the spirit.
The spirit lives on.
But I guess that's the question.
Sometimes they don't. Because like don't. If the coach changes and then like half the team changes in the same year, it's just a completely different thing.
No, this is just that robot question. If I swap your brain out.
It's a ship. It's a ship of pieces at a time, right? Yeah, yeah. You got. Mm-hmm. If you change that slowly enough, then it's the same thing.
It is the same thing. That's what I'm saying.
But most importantly, it has the same banner the whole time. Yeah. That's what we really rally behind is symbols.
Yeah.
The rest doesn't matter.
Because what I would say is like, you know, probably 6 years ago, it would have been like Blizzard hands down. But now literally none of the people who are running that company are mm-hmm. doing that anymore.
Also, they're just doing some weird shit.
They're doing weird shit now. I was like, well.
I like the Warframe team.
Yeah.
Digital Extremes, I believe it's called. They're just always doing cool shit over there. And they started off with this game that was like a free-to-play game that had a really low user base, and they've just been working on it.
They just keep going.
Cool shit, and now it's a monster.
Yeah.
And they just seem like they're having a good time. I like them.
Space Ninja. I mean, you make a game about space ninjas, I feel like.
Eventually, you're going to have a real good time, you know?
There's nowhere to go but up into space as a ninja.
Do you have a favorite AAA studio?
I just don't think I do. I actually don't like companies, and the bigger company gets, the less I can like it.
Yeah, I like right? small companies because they're actually groups of people.
Yeah, they're people.
It's like Supergiant, Behemoth.
Yeah, they're just people.
You like people.
Small studios.
Yeah, I like people. I don't like things as much, I guess. Company. I like people and experiences, and you can't experience a company and a company isn't a person. I mean, it is by law, but it's not like it's not one you can talk to. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you can talk using money, I guess, but like you can't. Talk back to
very
it. Actually you do because then you pay it for things and I guess that's how you
talk
now
because they talk to for example our political process
using money
that's right. How companies talk and listen with right. money yeah. That's how they,
so that's how that works
they don't but have like, a mouth they just have a big money hole that just shoots dollar bills out of it.
Yeah, it's like those machines get in the like the fans blowing money yeah. everywhere.
So if you're like a senator and you're like, I got to go talk to Google today, you go over to Google's money hole. And yeah, there's just a big hole in the side of the building.
Yeah.
And you just kind of open your mouth and the money just shoots in there. That's how you do
it. I just haven't really played, I think, actually a lot of AAA games recently.
There is that too.
Which is an interesting point, generally.
Yeah.
Well, so I was actually having a conversation with Sampy this weekend about what even is a AAA studio. Because mm-hmm. you know, this idea of being indie is comes from this idea of you'd have like one or two people making a game like in the basement and then they put it out and like self-publish it and whatever. But of course, everything exists on a spectrum.
Yeah.
So you got teams like well,
that's why you get that like Triple I and all that bullshit.
Yeah. Like, so you get teams like Hello Games. You know, they make No Man's Sky and they had 12 people on their team at that time. And they're selling the game for $60 and visually it looks like a AAA game and it's being like marched across the stage at E3 by Sony for like 3 years, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, actually I think to me, the distinction between a AAA game and an indie game in a lot of cases is like partially team size and partially, is it meant to sell hardware? Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. cause so often AAA games, they try to push the boundaries of graphics and then companies like Microsoft or Sony or whatever, like they'll be bringing those games up as like, look at how great this looks on the PlayStation, mm-hmm. Or this is an exclusive mm-hmm. to our console. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times those games are just kind of like collaborations between a hardware manufacturer and a game studio as like pushing the limits of what the hardware is capable of.
Interesting.
Whereas indies, you know, we don't have the resources to develop a game engine generally. Mm-hmm. We're making the games. And so we're not pushing the hardware unless like Unity or GameMaker is pushing the hardware. So that's kind of where
that's an interesting distinction. Yeah, that's an interesting distinction.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of the really high end titles aren't really doing that so much anymore. I think that used to be like the biggest selling point every year is like just how much better the graphics have gotten and whatever. But I feel like
it's because they've gotten good enough.
They've gotten good enough that I think like there is still, of course, that push and mm-hmm. that is still happening. But I feel like that's less of a huge selling point and not necessarily and especially because of the cross platform nature of things now. Where most games seem to be coming out on more than just a single console.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe just AAA doesn't mean anything.
I don't know what it means.
You know? To me, it just means publicly traded company. That's basically what it
is. Well, it means 3D and it means a large budget.
Yeah.
What about Clash of Clans?
It's not a AAA game.
Triple M?
It's a triple mobile? It's just a mobile game. Like, that's not a AAA game. No, you're right. I don't see that. I think it's about budget and it's about scale of the game, I think, for a large part.
Which scale, what do you mean by scale, though? Well, that's what I mean. Clash of Clans has like a 500-person staff and makes billions of dollars, right? So like
of the game, not of the institution behind the game. The game is not a huge
I think if you can put
if you can put
one game inside of if you can conceive of your game also being inside of another game, it's not AAA.
Yeah, AAA games are games where there's more games in them.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about, right?
It's like games within games.
Was there some game you were playing, or someone?
My wife was talking about playing The Witcher 3 with that game, with that Gwent. Game Gwent inside of it. People she was like, I've been having a blast playing Gwent in here.
And people have spent like 400 hours playing Gwent.
Yeah.
Inside
it's the
of
game
the Witcher.
Within the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think once your game has other games in it, then you're approaching AAA space.
There's that Final Fantasy 8.
Blitzball?
Blitzball, Final Fantasy 10. And Final Fantasy 8, there's that card game.
Oh, yeah. Sounds fun, too.
Yeah. Which I've always been like, I want that. That's a mobile game. Like, I want that. That's a great card game. Mm-hmm. And nobody makes it. But. Yep. Yeah, so if your game has other games in it, now it's a AAA game.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So how do we
get some games inside
of it? So we'll make a card game inside of Level Heads. we have the asynchronous play. We could do that with their web stuff.
I mean, that's a different thing entirely because we probably want it to be a bit more synchronous for a card game.
You can take turns. Who cares?
Nope, we'll just put a 24-hour cooldown on each move. You got a month to finish your game and – people love that shit.
Why not? That'll bust us.
People love waiting for it.
Then we can raise the price to $60. It's going to be great.
Yeah, because there's another game in there.
So now it's awesome. There's a card game in there now.
Yeah. So. Like, what?
Yeah. Or we could just put Roid Rage in it.
You know, what we should do is actually make the card game in full 3D.
Oh,
inside of Level Heads 2D, just to fuck
that would be easy.
Like, usually they do the opposite.
Yeah, it'll be kind of like a Celeste situation. You know, it's like where the map is 3D and then you get in the game and it's 2D.
Pixel art.
It's pixel art.
It's not even 2D.
The game is pixel art, but the portraits are hand drawn.
Yeah. But then the map is 3D low poly.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do something like that where the card game is super realistic, like HD, 3D, mm-hmm. every just D like you can textures. Have, we just put it all in there. Yeah. And then you just play that from within the cute cartoon 2D space.
Okay. I like it. We'll do it. All right. We got time for one more question, which comes from Just Let Me Read, who says, do you guys listen to music or podcasts while you work? I found that I at least need to have a YouTube video or a podcast, usually yours, so thanks, playing while I write or do homework. Thanks.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I cannot listen to words while I write anything.
Nope.
At all.
Yeah, I found that I make mistakes at like a 5x rate and I move through the work at like a 10% speed. If I'm listening to literally anything.
What I do, I can do.
Or anything with words. Yeah.
Songs I know a lot or that I have on repeat, I can do art to. Cannot write to still. But music that is just sort of like a, you know, basically random beeps and boops. So
gives you some energy.
I love beep boop.
Yeah.
That's so my favorite style of music.
Mm-hmm.
Beep beep bop and boop.
Yep.
Beep beep bop and boop.
So that stuff. And then I just do some white noise sometimes too. Just to have that. In there.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll work for like 4 hours and then realize I haven't been listening to anything at all, which is the weirdest part.
Yeah. I treat music as a mechanism of drowning out the rest of the noise.
Yes.
You know, like I have noise canceling headphones, but like they cancel ambient sound, but not
everything,
like voices and stuff.
Random sound.
Yeah. So.
But also you get the energy from it, you know, you get the, like get a good beat going. It helps you get in the coding mind zone.
Yeah. Mine is, I've pulled several ambient tracks from the EVE Online soundtrack, which are just like super chill, kind of like.
Actually, some of the build music for Level Head is really good for this too.
Yes.
The stuff that's on in the YouTube videos of the Bob Ross style things are really good for just like.
I'm still listening to now Sarah Bareilles Radio.
There you go.
Because I've heard all of those songs 100 million times. Mm-hmm. And so they're just like.
They're just noise.
Calm noise that just, you know. Keeps me going.
I love that that's your programming food.
Yeah, man.
It's awesome. But those programmers are like on some hardcore EDM.
I mean, every once in a while, if I hit a particularly hard problem that I need to like super concentrate on, then I'll flip over to Danny Baranowski Radio.
Mm. I thought you were going to say like Norah Jones or something.
No, that's too. I think it's too.
Danny Baranowski does Crypt of the NecroDancer and Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
And
it is all on Google Play. And so that radio station also brings in lots of other sort of similar kinds of stuff. So like FTL stuff gets in there. And, you know, it's a good
– FTL's good great. Station.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love video game soundtracks because they're meant to not draw attention to themselves.
Yeah.
Like they're meant to convey a mood but in a way that puts them behind everything else, you know, which is really great.
It's good for work.
For getting work done.
Yep.
Now, have you guys played Super Meat Boy recently?
No.
Yes.
Because the music is completely different. Because Danny
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Danny Baranowski made the music for Super Meat Boy originally. after like 5 or 8 years or whatever, there was some kind of dispute. And then the team meet just got a new composer and made a whole new soundtrack.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I think it had to do with, originally anyway, it had to do with their licensing agreement once they ported to some other platform.
Yeah.
And then like,
and then somehow that retroactively hit the whole game.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Or they just decided at that time to like do something else. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but
yeah. So now, if you play Super Meat Boy and you, if you played it a while back and you play it now, it feels a little different.
Is it?
It's got a little different vibe to it.
It would have to, because like the soundtrack was so integral of the
music
experience.
Is a huge part of all this stuff. Yeah. I was actually noticing it too, playing Levelhead over the weekend, and we did get quite a few comments from people just really enjoying the overall soundtrack and the vibe and stuff. But there's a few levels where it's very funny, where because the music is a little more upbeat, but you might be dying a lot. And there's this really interesting thing that happens where at some point when you die like 100 times, a level that's like really bopping, you start to feel like the music is kind of making fun of you. You know? Where you're like, stop it with your incessant happiness. You know? So it makes a huge difference on the overall, you know, impact of the level.
Yeah. In earlier builds of the game, we had it so that when you died, the music would stop.
Oh, it was terrible.
And it would start over.
You just hear the first 8 seconds. Yeah. Just constantly.
Really bad idea.
Yeah.
I think it worked when we had placeholder music because it was just bad. Yeah, and we weren't really listening to it anyway. But as soon as we actually had good music and you kind of wanted to hear the rest of the song, then yeah, that was a really bad experience. Mm-hmm. So, all right, that's all the time we have for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed the question blitz as I just started calling it today.
Mm-hmm. Just this moment.
Yep. So we'd like to thank our producer, Fat Bard, for making us sound good. Thanks to our community moderators who keep our Discord running. If you'd like to get more involved in the Butterscotch community, go to podcast.bscotch.net. And importantly, we've got, like I said, big announcement coming on Thursday. Get in there, get into the Discord, and you'll see. People will be talking about it.
Keep all your balls peeled.
That's right. And also, over at podcast.bscotch.net, we've got merch. We've got links to the Discord, a way for you to donate. And we have links to the podcast archives and all that stuff. And also you can ask questions and vote for questions. So get on over there and help make this podcast even more amazing going forward. Thank you very much. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.